said this, but just to repeat and reiterate, that when my love life with Jesus is where it needs to be, I'm going to be following His commands and I'm going to be loving my wife like she needs to be loved. And she is going to be respecting my leadership and respecting me and loving me as she is supposed to when her love life with Jesus is right. And we meet with couples all the time that want these 10-step programs. If I do this, this is going to work. This is going to work. And then if I do this over here, this is going to work. And this is going to work. The root of it all is, where do I stand in my relationship with Jesus Christ? And of course, we do all types of sessions on communication and conflict resolution and things like that. Sometimes churches will ask us to come in and we'll have like a whole Saturday and we'll do different split sessions and different things like that. And we do all that type of stuff, and all that type of stuff is good and it's important. But the bottom line is, if you do all that type of stuff but it's not rooted in your relationship with Jesus, I can guarantee you it will not last. Your marriage will be up and down, up and down, up and down. I want to talk for a few minutes, though, about our love life with the Lord. I'm just going to ask one question tonight, and it is this. When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, are you still in love? Are you still in love? And we're going to be talking about marriage tonight, family tonight. We're going to be talking about our love life with the Lord tonight. But let's get into the Scriptures here in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand." Seven stars here is representative of the seven churches mentioned in the book of Revelation. The seven stars are representative of the seven pastors. The seven golden sticks are representative of the churches. So it says, the author says, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works," Jesus says, "and thy labor, and thy patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them." You have put them folks on trial which say they are apostles and are not. "You've even found them to be liars," Jesus says, "and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake you hast labored and hast not fainted." And then Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Then he gives these instructions here. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick," or remove thy influence out of its place, "except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let's pray. Father, just for the next few minutes, I pray that you will allow us and search us, and you will allow us to evaluate not just our love life with our spouse and, Lord, how we love our children, but more than any of that, how we are in our relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you'll use these Scriptures to speak to our hearts. And Lord, draw us closer to you. Lord, the answer to all of life's issues are rooted and found in the Scriptures. Lord, you teach us that your word is like a two-edged sword. It's quick. It's powerful. And Lord, I pray that, as you always do, Lord, tonight, that you'll use that word to pierce us, to convict us, but to also draw us, Holy Spirit, to our Father. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As one studies the city of Ephesus, he will see the great wickedness that was present in this city. It was a wicked place. The city housed the often worshipped Greek god, which was in the temple of Diana. Diana was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But inside this temple, there were immoral acts that took place inside the temple as an act of worship to that god. In the middle of this wicked city stands a church. Church of Ephesus. This church was started by the Apostle Paul and later watered by John. And Ephesus was a strong church. It was a good church. They had good people, and they were in the middle of a wicked place. Kind of reminds us of us a little bit, doesn't it? Good people, good church, but you know, we live in a wicked culture. But sex acts, immoral acts taking place in this temple as an act of worship, we know that they were really distorted in their views. And Ephesus over the time period, and the people of the church, strong believers, and the Bible teaches here that they were actually a devoted church. These people in the church were not just your nominal believers. They were active. They were diligent. I'm sure that if you had bus routes back then, which is I know they probably didn't have bus routes like we do, but I'm sure they were active in the community. I'm sure they were active in their outreach. They didn't just come and warn a pew. I mean, they were busy believers. They were active Christians. They were active followers of the Lord. Not only were they active in their ministry, but they were aware of false prophets. We get that right here in the Scripture in verse 2, where Jesus says, I know your works and your labor. Hey, you're a good church. I even know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you've even tried the false apostles. You've found them out to be liars. They were not just active in the work and labored in the work, but they were also aware of the false prophets and could point those out, and they held people accountable. I mean, this is a good church. These folks even stood against sin, had discernment. But Jesus looks at this church, and I like to say it this way, the decline of the church, here in verse 4, where he says, nevertheless, I've said all these positive things about your ministry, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. There's just something that I want to address tonight, Jesus says through the Scripture. Somewhat, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. It reminds me just of a marriage. When we get married and we're excited and the beginning of that relationship and the engagement period and then the marriage period and the honeymoon. And then at some point in our marriage, sometimes it's easy for life to happen. And we get a little disgruntled sometimes. Maybe we're struggling in our relationships. Maybe we're struggling with our children, or in some way in our relationship, we kind of just hit a wall, so to speak. And just as it is in our marriages, and just as it is in our friendship, it can also be in our relationship with the Lord. And we see that here with this church. You see, they were still busy. They were still reaching out in the community. They were still making a difference. But they were not doing it with the same fervency that they were before. You see, they weren't doing it just because of their love for the Lord as they had before. They weren't as fervent in their love as they were before. Let me ask you something, dear Christian. How is your love life with Jesus? How is your intimate relationship with Him? How close are you with Him? How much do you desire Him? We talked a little bit about that when talking about our priorities last night. But where is He at in your life? How much value do you place on your relationship with the Lord? Do you love Him today as much as you did the day you gave your heart to Him? Do you love Him today as much as you did when He healed your body? Do you love Him today as much as you did when He delivered you from temptation? Do you love Him today as much as you did when He financially blessed you? Do you love Him today more than you've ever loved Him in your life? If Jesus were in this room physically tonight and He went to each of us and He did this to Peter, and He said, Austin, do you love me? What would my response be? Would I say yes because that is the answer I'm supposed to give? Or would I say yes because deep down in the depths of my heart, I love my Jesus more than anything in this world? How do you love Him tonight? You see, if you love Him, you're going to spend time with Him. If I love my wife, I'm going to spend time with her. And we got a date night this Friday night, and I'm excited about that. Why am I excited about that? Because I love her, and I want to spend time with her. When's the last time that you've honestly spent genuine time, not just in the pew, but in the Word of God? When's the last time that we spent time on our knees? When's the last time that we fasted and asked God to do a fresh work in our hearts, lives, and in our ministries? When's the last time that we've self-sacrificed and we gave up some things for Him to do that special work in our heart? Church, tonight, can we honestly say that we are still choosing to be in love with Jesus? His love for us hasn't settled. His love for us hasn't been quenched. His love for us hasn't faded a bit. But are we reciprocating that love to Him? You see, this church was a devoted church. Hey, this church had the community festivals. This church was reaching out to those around them. This church was active. Hardin Valley Free Will Baptist Church, I'm telling you, you're an active church. And the reason I know that is because I follow your Facebook page. Y'all have a wonderful, I don't know if you know this or not, but y'all have an absolutely phenomenal, wonderful web presence from social media to your website. And it seems that every day almost I'm looking at something and this is going on at Hardin Valley, this is going on at Hardin Valley, and this is going on at Hardin Valley. This is great. Congratulations on being a devoted church. But let me ask you this, are you doing those things because of your fervent love for Jesus, or is it because it's just something we need to do? What drives our outreach? What drives us? You see, you show me a Christian that loves Jesus with all their heart, I'm going to show you a believer who is out bringing people into the church house. You show me someone who has a fervent love for Jesus, I'm going to show you someone who is a regular giver. You show me someone who really loves Jesus, I'm going to show you someone who follows pastoral leadership and who is on the team. They are bought in. You show me someone with a fervent love for Jesus, that person is going to be sharing the gospel at the workplace, in the neighborhood, and everywhere else. Why? Because if you love someone so much, you can't help but to share it. When's the last time that you've been to someone and you've witnessed to them? When's the last time that maybe you don't have it all down and maybe you don't know all the verses, the Romans 3, 10, 23, 6, 23, 5, 8, 10, 13. Maybe you don't have all the verses down, but when's the last time that you've went to somebody that you work with who you know is lost and you said, let me just share with you what Jesus has done in my life. Let me just show you how He's changed me. Just because you were so excited. Remember when you started dating and you told your friends, you got to meet this gal. I think she's the one. And that initial excitement. When's the last time that you had that love for Jesus and you went to that lost person and said, hey, here's what Jesus has done for me. We're passionate. We're excited about Him. You see, it's easy to, when life happens and we've been saved and we kind of settle in, so to speak, it's easy to lose our luster. It's easy for our love to wane. Not necessarily because we want it to, but because sometimes life beats us up. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to feel like we hit a wall. The only difference between the believer that hits the wall but continues and the believer that hits the wall and stops is the believer that continues is one who perseveres to the end. Who's going to keep on reading even though they don't feel anything. Right? Who's going to keep on praying even though they feel like God's a million miles away. The person that's going to keep on going, pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ and pursuing that relationship. You see, you can function without love. I see marriages all the time functioning without love. It might not be a healthy marriage, but they're functioning. They're putting up with each other. I've seen Christians who claim the name of Christ, but they're living a life that is functioning somewhat without love. But listen, church, God demands, He desires, and He deserves our most fervent love. I remember as a kid, I started on the bus routes with a man by the name of Fred Caraway, who I'm sure your pastor knows very well. And he used to come and pick me up at my house when I was a 12-year-old boy. And he had this station wagon. And I'll never forget, this man did something great for me. And he introduced me to cheese on wheat crackers. And every Saturday, we'd go on bus visitation. And we'd go to Rudy's Hot Dog, which is a popular hot dog stand in Goldsboro, and I'd get me a hot dog, and I'd get some cheese on wheat crackers. That's why I really went on bus visitation for the meal. You just got to be honest this morning. I mean, evening, right? No, not really, but that was, I enjoyed it. And I remember on Sunday, I'd get up, and I'd go on that bus route, and we'd pick up these kids, and we'd bring them in. And Brother Fred Caraway taught me so much about the ministry as a child. But I remember Sunday afternoons, we would go eat with Grandma and Grandpa. And my brother would get there after church, and my dad would get there after church, and my mom. And they had already eaten. And my grandma's favorite, my favorite meal was barbecue chicken. It was the best in the world. And she'd cook this barbecue. Bless her heart, she's in heaven, and I'm sure she's cooking up. I don't know. But anyway, great barbecue chicken, corn on the cob. I have a record of 12 corn on the cobs. Can you believe that? And I was skinny back then. Maybe that's why I'm not today. But anyway, had the family record. And I loved to eat. But when I got to Grandma's house, the food was not as hot as it was when my brother got to eat it. And there wasn't as much left. I had the leftovers. I remember putting them in the microwave, and they were still good, but to me it just wasn't the same as when it just came out. How often in our lives do we give the Lord our leftovers? We don't give Him the intense love. We don't give Him our dedicated love. We give Him what we have left to give Him on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night after everything else has squeezed us thin throughout the week. It's kind of like, Lord, here you go. I got this left. Here you go. Are we giving Him the first fruits of our lives? Are we giving Him our first? Are we giving Him our best? Listen to me. I struggle with this. I don't have this down. But I'm telling you, if I want my marriage to work and I want my kids to love Jesus, they've got to see a daddy who loves Jesus with all his heart and a mama. What kind of example are we setting for our children? Is baseball more important than Jesus? Is that soccer game more important than Jesus? Is that fair more important? I have people all the time who meet with us, and I've got this one couple who, bless their hearts, their daughter is in some type of professional cheering competition. And she literally travels, she's probably 10 or 11 years old, and she travels all over the country cheering. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there anything wrong with that, yes or no? Mm-mm. But their life, though, evolves, this couple and this family evolves around this girl's cheering schedule. The husband doesn't like it, but the wife was living her dream through her child, and it constantly kept the husband and wife separated. And they were believers, although they didn't really ever frequent church because they were so busy with cheering competitions. And they look at me and they say these words, "I really don't know how it all fell apart. I really don't know what happened." And I said, maybe because you're traveling the country watching cheering competitions, you're not in church, and your priorities are all messed up. You're not even giving God your leftovers. It's so often that we allow things to come into our lives that we give more attention to those things than we do the Lord. And He's the one that saved us. There's never been a ball game that saved me. And listen, I'm not against ball games. I love those things. They're wonderful, but they take and have the proper place in our lives. I'll tell you what, let me tell you a story real quick about my dad. When I was a kid, I played baseball all the time. I love baseball, and that's one thing that I was not bad at. I was a pretty good baseball player. And I grew up and played it from 4 years old all the way through high school. And in the summers, I would play public school ball. I went to a private Christian school, but in the summertime, I would play in the public leagues and the All-Stars and all that kind of stuff. And I'll never forget, that's when they actually started to have games on Wednesday nights and some Sunday afternoons. Up until that point, they never played on Sundays, and they never had Wednesday night practice or games. And I'll never forget my dad telling the coach, "Coach, Austin's not going to be at practice on Wednesday night. And the coach says, well, Austin needs to be on practice on Wednesday night. And the coach said, I'm sorry, Austin will not be. My dad says, Coach, I'm sorry, my son will not be at baseball practice. And the coach said, why? He said, because we're going to be in church. And he said, I just want you to know, if you ever have a game on a Sunday, Austin is not going to be at the game because he's going to be in church. And guess what? My coach understood that. I'll never forget going to church on a Sunday night in my baseball uniform. Because we had a game on Sunday afternoon and it didn't interfere with church. So dad let me play. But I was at church Sunday night in my baseball uniform. My dad would never let me miss church for a ball game. I'm glad that I had a daddy who had his priorities right. Can I get an amen? Now my dad's not perfect. But he's consistent. And he's always been consistent. And he's always attempted to put the Lord first. Fathers, if we talked to our kids and we were honest, what would our kids say our priorities are? TV? Cell phones? Social media? Activities? Hobbies? Would our kids be able to say, more than anything, Daddy loves Jesus? Would our spouses be able to say privately, more than anything in the world, my husband or my wife loves Jesus more than anything? Life minus love equals nothing. Life minus love equals nothing. How's your love life? What kind of love are you showing to your Lord? What kind of love are you showing to your mate? What kind of love are you showing to your children? What kind of love are you showing towards your friends? I'm going to just throw out a couple of signs that you can be aware of if you're losing your first love. That love life with Jesus. What are some signs that I'm taking a wrong road? I just want to share a couple of them with you. I'm not even going to share all of them that I have. But first of all, there will be a coolness towards the Lord. There will be a coolness towards the Lord. All of a sudden, going to church is not the best thing on your calendar. And you kind of start to dread it a little bit. And you kind of start to wander away from the church house. You have a coolness in your life towards the Lord. That is a sign that your love life with Jesus is starting to wane. Secondly, not only is there a coolness towards the Lord, but there is a contentedness with yourself. You start to become content with how you're living. You start to become content with how things are going in your relationship with Christ. Listen, the day that I become content with my closeness to God is the day that I start backsliding. There should never be a day where I am content in my relationship with the Lord. Every day I should thrive and want more in my relationship with Him. And when I start becoming content with who I am and how I am, that lets me know that my love for the Lord might be starting to fade. Not only will there be a coolness towards my Lord and a contentedness with myself, but thirdly, there will be a callousness towards sin. Sin doesn't affect me like it used to. You know, that sin I was dabbling in, it doesn't appear as bad as it once was. You kind of start developing calluses towards sin. When you can feel comfortable in your sin, you are in a dangerous period in your life. Your love for the Lord is definitely waning, and you definitely are not giving Him the first fruits of your love. Not only will there be a coolness towards our Savior and a contentedness with ourselves and a callousness towards sin, but there will also be a carelessness for souls. A carelessness for souls. You see, when I don't love the Lord with my fervent love, I will become careless. I will stop reaching out. I will stop following up. I will stop really caring about who I'm talking to about the Lord Jesus. May we not reach that point. May we not be at that point where we're careless about souls. I'm going to close with these three thoughts. My love for Jesus should be a concentrated love. I should concentrate on my relationship with Him. I should evaluate my relationship with Him. Not only should my love be a concentrated love, but my love should be a consecrated love. It should be a holy love. It should be a set-apart love. It should be a life I'm living that is consecrated and given fully unto the Lord. And my love for Jesus should be a communicated love. Meaning that I communicate with Him that I love Him. Meaning that every area of my life screams that I love Him. I communicate with Him. When someone looks at our lives tonight, does it appear that we love Jesus with everything we are? You see, the church here, it was a devoted church, but it was a church that began to be in decline, Jesus says, because they left their first love. And then there's also dangers of leaving our first love. So, I'm not going to go into that because of time tonight. And I went long this morning, so I'm going to skip some of that. But I do want to give you some answers on what if you find yourself tonight and you have realized that your love for the Lord is not where it used to be. How does that get fixed? I'm going to give that to you here real quick in chapter 2, according to Jesus Christ. Here's what's got to happen. Number one, I've got to remember. I've got to remember. Go with me in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Jesus says, Church, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember how it used to be. Go back to where you left that first love. Was it a sin that you started to get involved in? What was it? Go back to that place in your life where you really loved Him. And figure out where it dropped off. Remember those times. Just like you remember that relationship with your spouse, how it used to be. Remember those times. And then secondly, Jesus tells us not only do we need to remember, but we need to repent. That's also found here in verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And what, church? Repent. Turn away from. Turn away from. Go back to. Do the first works. The Bible there is saying do the first works. First works. In other words, go back and do those works like you used to with the fervency of the love. May it be a fresh work, a first work, a new work. Remember and repent. And if not, Jesus says, I will come unto thee quickly. And I will remove your influence or your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. I believe with all my heart God has started a special work here at this church. I believe if God allowed you, church, to see what He wants to do with this ministry, y'all would probably run out the door. Just wouldn't be able to take it. I believe God's blessed this ministry. I believe God wants to continue to bless this ministry. God does not want us to stay where we're at. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to grow. He wants to add to this ministry. He wants more souls to be saved because of this ministry. He wants more marriages restored through this ministry. He wants more people delivered from addiction through this ministry. But if we're going to be able to receive all God has for Hardin Valley Free Will Baptist Church, there's got to be a bunch of people who are thoroughly in love with Jesus. How much do you love Him tonight? Are you, am I, are we still in love? Let's pray.